Jake Dukas News and Rob Van Bear Greek Drink. Sun go down. Live on Bear Creek, watching the sun go down. It makes me feel like I'm on my last go round.
Hey, well, it's noon, and you're listening to WSCA, LP Portsmouth Community Radio, 106.1 FM, and up next is going to be Wine Me, Dine Me.
Oh, I can cook, too, on top of the rest. My seafood's the best in the town. Yes, I can cook too. My fish can't be beaten. My sugar's the sweetest around. I'm a man's ideal of a perfect meal, right down to the demi-tasse. I'm a pot of joy for a hungry boy. Baby, I'm cooking with gas. So I'm a gumdrop, a sweet lollipop, a brook trout right out of the brook. And what's more, baby, I can cook. I've made a magazine cover. I run my house on a dime. I'd make a wonderful lover. I should be paid over.
Yeah, we should all be paid overtime for our cooking, that's for sure. Hey, I'm Rachel Forrest. It's Wine Me, Dine Me Wednesday at noon, and I'm the food writer for the Portsmouth Herald et al., and we're going to talk about food here with another food chick. Do you, Allie Goodwin, do you mind if I use the term chick?
No, that's fine.
One time I got in trouble for that.
You can call me Chicky.
But I'm going to call you Gal, because you have this wonderful blog called Gal Foodie, www.galfoodie.com.
I do.
And if people go there, don't do it right now unless you can listen at the same time, what can we see on your blog?
Well, Gal Foodie kind of was born out of a need to talk about the things that I was cooking. And not so much here's a recipe, make it, but telling the story and putting the food in context. So when you go to Gal Foodie, you'll find some really sort of anecdotal notes and stories surrounding the creation of the actual recipe. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and it takes you on a little bit of a journey. Now, we first met on Facebook.
Yay, Facebook.
That's where we're meeting everyone nowadays. But then we met in real life at recently, a few weeks ago, at the Celebrate Maine Festival. We'll come back to the blog, but I wanted to give people a little context. and we were both judges at the Iron Chef barbecue competition. Was that your first judging experience?
It was my first judging, and if I had any preconceived notions of what a barbecue competition judge was supposed to do, they were quickly dashed.
I will never forget the look on your face, because it was Iron Chef, so neither the judges or the barbecue chefs knew what the secret ingredient was until that morning, and you didn't know until you got there that it was oysters. And your face, you were like, I don't like oysters.
I can't eat oysters.
Yeah, some foods I have trouble with too, but you know, most of them were cooked.
Yeah, and actually, in all fairness to the barbecuers and everybody involved, it wasn't that bad. I actually enjoyed a lot of what I had.
Yes, and the winner was that lobster. The oyster Newberg in the little vol-au-vent puff pastry cup.
Puff pastry, yeah, just like hide it in butter and cream, and it's all good.
Pretty much, it's all I need: butter, cream, good. And beer. That's all I
right.
need. So, now that was pretty interesting, this whole setup, because I had never experienced before the whole, competitive barbecuing and all of these trucks. I mean, these people came from all over the country and set up there. And, we're just barbecuing all weekend and competing.
I really enjoyed walking around the setups and talking to the guys and checking out their smokers and their gear. And I couldn't believe the undertaking, putting some of these competition pits together. And they didn't give away all their secrets, but I did get to see some really cool stuff in terms of like their tools. And some of these smokers just blew me away.
Yeah, that's really big
and
equipment.
Guys are serious.
Yeah, well, it's just like any hobby. But in this hobby, you get to, eat.
Yeah, so can you imagine these big, beefy barbecuers like, hey, oysters.
Yeah.
Knock yourselves out.
I can imagine, like oysters. But it was sponsored by JP's Fish Seafood Company. And I think you can barbecue. I mean, we live around the ocean,
Sure.
You can barbecue anything.
Sure. And it was a good challenge. I think, overall, everybody stepped up. So
now, yeah, we'll have to get you involved in some more judging.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, because Gene Kerr and I and Kathy Gunst, we can't do it all. We have our waistlines to consider. And
right.
You're younger than we are. You could probably take it more than...
Well, and just if nothing for the facial expressions of me tasting the food. And for everybody who's checking out Gal Foodie, my next post will be the story of being the barbecue judge.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
And it will be very entertaining.
Yeah, I've written about that before, Yeah, I've been in an eating competition. I was in Kennebunkport in the lobster eating competition.
Oh, no.
And, that was disgusting.
That is disgusting.
It was cold. I couldn't dip it in butter.
And so were you just doing it to taste the lobster?
No. You do it to see how much you can eat and in a short period of time.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, and there were professional eaters for the second part of it. I was in the amateur competition. But they were the Federation of Competitive Eating.
Right.
Yeah. So they were professional. The Black Widow, Sonia.
Yes.
Yeah. She was there. She weighs like 20 pounds. And I don't think she won that one. But, I mean, God, she just ate so much lobster.
So how many lobsters did you actually put down?
I was laughing.
I was laughing
the whole time. Not many.
Two.
I did wind up on national TV, though, on the news. My mom called me up from Philadelphia. Rachel, I think I just saw you shoving lobster in your mouth on the news.
As fast as you can.
Yeah. That was awful.
Yeah, that's
but,
awesome.
You know, there's all sorts of competitions. Pie contests I've judged and pizza, chili festival and chowder festival in Prescott Park every year.
Oh, yeah. See, sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. And I actually do recipe competitions on my website too. So I've kind of put a stop over the summer because I just don't have time to do it all. But come fall, there's a new recipe competition every month.
So how is that going to work? Like people are going to post recipes?
So actually people will email me their recipes. And usually there's a theme. There's been a celebration recipe contest, a comfort food. And the only rule that I have is that there's two rules. They should be your own recipe or something that's kind of family grown, and there has to be a really good story attached to it.
Good. So you want people also to write the story.
Right. I don't care that you have the best like chocolate cake recipe in the planet. I want to know why it's the best chocolate cake.
What's the context? Because food is a story. Food has a history in all of our lives.
It has. And I've had some really amazing heartfelt, touching stories. I've had some hilarious things come across me. It's like, I can't make Grandma Edna's cheese ball. I don't even know where to get that stuff. But, you know, and of that, of those competitions, other stories and ideas have sparked. So it's been really interesting.
So people submit these stories and the recipes, and then do you try the recipes, or do you have people vote on the
I try them out. Yeah. And then I post the one that I feel like has the best. Yeah. It's either really, you know, easy for everybody to make, but normally it's the story that drives the recipe. And then there is a prize attached, and every month the prize changes. It's either like the Silver Palette Cookbook or some really beautiful wine glasses, you know, just as a sort of a thank you for people taking the time.
Now, you moved down here to the Seacoast area pretty recently. How long ago was that?
I've been here for about 2 months.
2 months, and you are making a splash on the Seacoast.
I'm loving already. It. Loving it.
And you moved here from Mount Desert Island, which I've never been there, and you had a restaurant there.
I did.
What sort?
Well, it was called Harbor Treats Cafe, and it started out, as most things on the island do, as sort of the local coffee shop, sort of a glorified Starbucks, we called it. It had really, really high-end coffee, espresso. We got a Cold Stone style ice cream. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that anymore. I've had the cease and desist. The marble-topped frozen ice cream thing, where you put the ice cream on and you mix in, you pick your toppings, and bakery.
Yeah.
And then, as most things do change to fit the season, we greatly expanded the restaurant. It was about 3,000 square feet, this place.
That's huge. Wow.
Into a bigger bakery, gourmet pizzas and sandwiches and homemade soups. Everything was made from scratch. It wasn't just like, here's a roast beef sandwich. It was, here's a roast beef sandwich with boursin, our homemade, you know, boursin cheese and herbs and all these things baked in the oven. I mean, these were really great things. I pretty much made everything for the restaurant. My quiches being the most famous, people would line up to get them before they'd even come out of the oven.
Yeah, so. You know, you just don't see a lot of quiche around here. I know Popovers at the Square has a quiche.
And it's pretty amazing. And I'm going to give a nod to the Loaf and Ladle, because I worked there many, 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 many years ago.
Oh, surprise. I didn't know that.
Way back when. And it's actually a take from the Loaf and Ladle's original quiche recipe that I learned from Andy Happel, if you're out there listening, from Thanks to Gravity, taught me how to make this quiche. I only know how to make it in restaurant size portions, five at a time.
Right. Yeah, okay.
But who doesn't love that much quiche? So,
you're listening to Why Me Dime Me. I'm Rachel Forrest. I'm here with Ally Goodwin, who has a great blog called Gal Foodie. She is Gal Foodie, www.galfoodie.com. Now, you have this restaurant. Now, how did you, this is what people always ask me, did you have food in your family growing up?
You know, I did. I learned how to cook at a very early age. It was one of the things that my mom made sure, you know, learn to cook, learn to sew. And it wasn't sort of out of like that.
And get a husband.
Yes. No. Well, and get a husband. No, it wasn't that at all. It was that she really enjoyed canning, and she was a stay-at-home mom. And that's what we did. Those were our activities. So, you know, we're going to go pick blueberries for 10 hours and then we're going to bake all the next day. But mom, it's like 110 degrees, but that's what we're doing. So I did learn a lot from my mom. A lot from my grandmother. My aunts are incredible chefs in their own right. I'd been in food service for many years on both sides, you know, front of the house and back of the house. So it kind of always felt like a life calling. I always really wanted to have a coffee shop or something mm-hmm. like that. So when I moved to Mount Desert Island, one of the first things that we noticed when we got there was, hey, you know, you can't get a decent cup of coffee around here. And, you know, there's 4 million people here in the summertime. Ooh. From Massachusetts, New York, like all these away places. If we're looking for it, they're probably looking for it, too. So that's kind of where the idea was born. And I also at the time owned the online retail division of Seattle Chocolates and was distributing the chocolates from the island. And we had a sort of a makeshift candy shop going as well. So people wanted an outlet for the chocolate. And then I brought in the coffee and it just kind of grew. It kind of grew out of control.
So you were selling the chocolates for that company?
Yes, I actually, there is a wholesale and manufacturing division. And then I owned the retail division. So I had an online store and that was my gig. I sold a lot of chocolate. Yep, and then the local folk kind of found out that I had this stockpile of incredible European chocolate, you know, in this little town on the island, and would come and knock on my office door asking if they could, you know, can I please get a box for my friend's birthday? And finally I was like, okay, every couple of days I'll open up and let people just come shopping. And that kind of grew into the store, which grew into the coffee, which grew into the food. And before
organic.
I knew it, I had a 3,000 square foot full service restaurant under my belt.
Wow.
And that lasted a little over 2 years.
2 years.
And then I sold it off.
And now you're down here.
And now I'm here.
So how did the blog come about? How long have you been doing that?
You know, the blog's actually fairly recent.
Yeah.
I think my first post was maybe November, December of last year. And it really came about out of, I closed the restaurant for the winter, but I still really needed an outlet for my cooking and my food. And my house up on the island has this beautiful brand new gourmet chef's kitchen. I just had built a home, and I had been working so much in the restaurant that I hadn't really ever been in my kitchen. You know, here I am with this gorgeous place
yeah,
and I'd never really been in my house. So, my boyfriend and I decided that we would start doing these sort of culinary challenges, and I would pick a whole recipe, you know, whole meal plan for a couple of times during the week, and then we'd cook them and take pictures of them, and I would jot notes. And finally, I just started blogging about it, and it was an overwhelming response. It started out, you know, with just friends and family kind of picking up on it, and then all of a sudden, you know, I've got 6,000 RSS feeds to my website. And
how do you think that happened?
I'm pretty web savvy. That's actually my real job.
Right. Yeah. You have the web development company.
Right. AcadiaCreative.com is my real job. And that's marketing and online and web and e-commerce. And so it was pretty easy for me to tap into that viral marketing.
Yeah.
But I also, part of my graphic design career has been about specialty food. I have a lot of specialty food clients that I do packaging for marketing for. So I reached out to them. You know, we kind of exchanged information. I do promos sometimes on my blog with chefshop.com. If you'll get a coupon if you know, just so a lot of cross promotion and just viral marketing, Facebook and Twitter and, you know, all the usual suspects.
Yeah, Facebook's really helped out. Yep. I know a lot of the restaurants around here.
Yeah, and you know, that's a big thing that I promote too for local restaurants and cafes and the little food, especially food people. You know, get your page up on Facebook, people will find you.
Yeah.
So that's how Gal Foodie kind of came about. We just started cooking over the winter because I needed the outlet for my food. And then the stories, I've always been a writer, so the stories just kind of attach themselves to the experience.
Well, we have eerily similar backgrounds. It's weird because I used to be out west and in working with e-commerce websites. And,
as did I in Seattle.
And then we're both here, and we're both writers and food people.
And we both have red hair.
Yeah, we both have red hair. You have a T-shirt on that says meat. I love meat. And what else? No, there's something else. Oh, we've both owned restaurants.
Exactly.
How freaky is that?
And we have mutual friends on Facebook that we didn't even know.
We have mutual Facebook friends, and one of them, our friend Sebastian, was cooking with you recently.
Yes.
Some cheese. You made mozzarella, and it's up on the blog now.
It's on the blog now, yes. Sebastian, on the hottest day of the summer, decided that we were going to spend the afternoon in my tiny little unair-conditioned kitchen making mozzarella cheese. And I thought he was nuts until he cracked open the homemade elderberry wine that he brought.
Yes, I've sampled that.
And things got slightly out of control. So we made cheese a couple of times. And we had a great time. And yeah, Sebastian and I have actually been cooking quite a bit together. And our next cheese making foray will be into goat cheese. That's going to be our next trick.
Yeah, you know, there aren't that many local cheesemakers. We have, you know, Silvery Moon Creamery, which is pretty close to here, up near Portland. But and a few in, you know, many more in Vermont, not too many in New Hampshire.
No, and actually there was one Seal Cove chef was up on the island, and that was the one that I just fell in love with, because a chef that I had cooked under in Bar Harbor actually had retired and gone into smoking salmon and meats and making goat cheese.
Right.
And so, you know, I was just in awe of him and his ability. So when Sebastian suggested that we make cheese, I thought, well, you know, that could be fun in, you know, February. And then he's like, no, today. We're making cheese today. So we did it, and it was successful. I think we were both pleasantly surprised.
Well, we're going to talk more about the cheese making on the hottest day of the year in a moment, but I just want to let you know that programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Terracotta Pasta, makers of fresh gourmet pasta, ravioli, and sauces, located just south of the Kittery Traffic Circle at 52A Route 1, Kittery, Maine. More information at 207-475-3025. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is brought to you by our members and by Women's Intimate Solutions, providing organic herbals and personal products that ease the effects of hormonal changes, cancer, or childbirth, and help women feel better. For more information, call 603-740-4372 or online at www.womensintimatesolutions.com. And support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and also by Heron Pond Farm, building community through local agriculture from our fields to your table. More information on CSA memberships at heronpondfarm.com or 603-591-8720. We have some community calendar stuff. All parents and children are welcome to the parenting classes, playgroups, and other programs that Families First Health and Support Center offers. Most programs are free of charge and all include free child care. Advanced sign-up is needed. The number is 603-422-8208, extension 2. Learn more about these programs and services at familiesfirstseacoast.org. We're also having a fundraiser for our remote. WSEA is having a fundraiser to raise money for our remote capabilities. And if you go to the website WSCAFM.org, you can find out more. But it's going to be at Darcy Creative on August 20th from 5:30 to 9:00. And people can bring, it's $35 to get in, or $25 if you bring a CD or a bottle of wine. So it's going to be a great fundraiser. It'll help us to get out there, and, you know, we can go to events and, you know, talk live from the event and interview people, and it'll be a great, great opportunity. Hey, we're here with Allie Goodwin, Gal Foodie. I'm Rachel Forrest, Wine Me, Dine Me. And we're going to talk about you're making this mozzarella. Had you ever done that before?
Never.
No.
Never. In fact, I have such an aversion to hot milk. And I think that my father bred just the whole, like, don't get milk on anything, you know, when I was a child.
Because of the bacteria?
The bacteria, and it'll smell, and, you know, it's a hot day, and you just don't spill milk. Okay, so cheese curd everywhere. Everywhere. But, you know, it was fun, and I didn't really know much about the science of making cheese.
Yeah.
I have seen it done. I used to spend a lot of time at Beecher's Cheese in Seattle in Pike's Market, and they actually have a cheese room that's, like, totally glassed in.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there. Yeah. So you've seen the big vat.
Yeah.
Have you had their mac and cheese?
No, I didn't have that.
Oh, honey.
Oh, I got to go back.
Going to Seattle just for that.
Road trip.
Road trip. Yeah, Sebastian wants to come too, by the way.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So we get, you know, Sebastian tells me, okay, just go to the store and buy milk, you know, gallon of whole milk and a lot of tomatoes. Like, that's all. The tomatoes, just buy a lot of tomatoes. So thank you, Market Basket, 99 yeah. cents a pound on the vine tomato sale. On
99 cents a pound.
99
that's
cents a
crazy.
Pound. So I bought 7 pounds of tomatoes and get to the house. He's brought citric acid and rennet, which is a vegetable based rennet, which is an enzyme, for those of you who don't know, that helps break down Wikipedia, it's just gross, but
yeah,
it breaks things down in stomachs.
Decay.
So you use this rennet and this citric acid, and it's a very timed process. It's very heat sensitive, hence the two tries, where you have to bring the milk to a certain temperature, which is about 90 degrees, and then you add in a succession of unchlorinated water is also they suggest using seawater, like actual ocean water, to make mozzarella.
Well, you live right by the ocean.
I know.
Dip.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So we thought river water, so much.
Yeah.
Not so much. So a little Pellegrino kicked it up a notch. But so we go through this whole process in the first time around. Now, granted, we started drinking the elderberry wine, so, you know, we're sort of paying attention, but not really. And sure enough, the milk starts to boil. We're at 200 and some odd degrees, and we can't cool it down fast enough. Put it in a cold water bath, can't get the temperature to drop fast enough. So the cheese, there is cheese curd, but it's a very fine granular cheese curd.
And right.
Instead of saying, we'll just toss it and try again, Sebastian has this great idea. We're gonna strain it and knead it and mush it all together and see if we can make it's cheese. I mean, it's already
cheese.
Yeah,
it is cheese. It's like quark
so,
a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So we whip it up in a bowl. He adds, we had made this roasted garlic butter for steaks like a couple nights earlier, and whips that in, a few more spices and basically comes out with like an herbed boursin cheese, which I brought, sample.
Yes.
So that's been great in everything from like omelets to Triscuits to, you know, sourdough bread. I mean, we've eaten on everything. So we have a lot of it. So that was really great. So then we, you know, trip to the store, get more milk, come back, paying closer attention now. Now, also, we're following this process online.
Yeah.
From this website resource we found, which is on galfoodie.com. And the guy switches between like Fahrenheit and Celsius halfway through.
Oh, no.
And so that's why we messed up the first time. That's more the reason. So we were like, what? What do you mean? Celsius?
Yeah.
So in paying closer attention this time, we go all the way through. And it really didn't take that long. The second batch maybe took 45 minutes. So
that's
at
great.
The very end, we had a real live ball of real mozzarella.
Wow.
Like you'd see in a grocery store. And it was really nice because it sliced a lot nicer than the stuff that's been sitting in brine for weeks and just wasn't mushy. It was real solid. Wished it had a little bit more salt. So next time, you know, we'll know to add a little bit more salt. And that's probably where the seawater comes in.
Yeah.
But it was great. And so we made lunch.
No, well, you didn't tell us what the tomatoes were for.
Oh, yeah. So we made lunch. Okay, so 7 pounds of tomatoes later.
We threw the tomatoes at each other.
Yeah, we threw them at each other.
By that time.
Sebastian makes a mean, mean homemade tomato sauce. So I whipped up some pizza dough from the gourmet cafe days. And we actually made from scratch, totally start to finish, grilled on the grill pizzas, homemade pizzas with our mozzarella and our tomato sauce and caramelized onions and fresh basil and Greek olives. I mean, we just blue cheese and so good.
That sounds great.
And just had a feast on my beautiful deck overlooking the Newcastle.
Yeah, down there in Kittery. Mm-hmm. Point. That's great. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Why Me Dime Me. I'm Rachel Forrest. I'm talking with Allie Goodwin from galfoodie.com. Now, you came here a couple months ago, left the restaurant business, came down here, start your life over again.
Yes.
Here.
On sabbatical, kind of.
On sabbatical. What do you think, how are you finding the restaurant scene around here?
What
have you been enjoying?
I've been out a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
me too.
We don't
I go out every night,
yes,
practically.
I know. I am still in awe, I think, of my transition from a small island off the coast of Maine in the middle of nowhere, where most things are closed, you know, 9 months out of the year. And no grocery stores, not a whole lot of food resources. So part of the blog as well came about from the challenge of trying to find the stuff just to make some of these recipes, you know, like Hungarian sweet paprika. Yeah, try to find that within 400 miles of Mount Desert Island.
Right.
But, you know, getting here, I'll go buy a whole, you know, refrigerator full of food, and then I'll be like, wow, you know, I could just go out. I'm 2 miles from downtown Portsmouth.
Yeah.
So I've been out and about. My most recent dining experience was this weekend, second trip to Four.
Oh, good.
Which is becoming one of my all-time favorites. Thank you, Brian, for the desserts. Loved them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think cooking the steak in that oven
that
makes such a big difference.
That oven, to me, is sort of like the pinnacle of why you would go there. Because after talking to some of the staff and kind of paying, you know, sat right outside the kitchen on Saturday, I guess it was Saturday night, and learning that almost everything they make is prepped in that oven on some level, like the sauces and everything. So I've just everything I've had there has just been top notch.
Did you have those ribs?
Didn't have the ribs. My partner had the ribs, the pulled pork plate, which was Saturday night. They did like a barbecue plate.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of over the barbecue for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So I just looked on in awe of this pulled pork rib concoction that showed up with all kinds of yummy stuff on it.
Well, they have this sticky rib appetizer. It's unbelievable. He used to have them. Simon was at 931 Ocean, and mm-hmm. he had them there.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good.
I've had steak tips. I've tried the catfish. I've tried the salmon. All the flatbread pizzas, a couple of the salads.
Yikes.
And three or four different kinds of desserts.
Nice.
We're big sharers, so when I go out, I
you have to share.
Just share it all.
Yeah, people know that, to do that.
And cream spinach. Can I just give a big shout out to their cream spinach?
Yeah. Cream spinach,
so
cream corn.
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
So, yeah, so where else have you been bopping around?
Well, agave, once or twice. Looking forward to going to the Common Man. That will be my next. Just to, you know, I've eaten at the one in their original.
I stumbled in there on my birthday trip.
I was like,
speaking of Facebook, so one of my coworkers said, you know, okay, why don't you just ask people on Facebook where you should go for your birthday dinner, which was yesterday. And so I did that, and the suggestions were really interesting, and none of which I took.
Gillies.
But yeah, which was closed on Monday. So for the last stop, after we went across the bridge to Badger's Island down to Lobster in the Rough, which was absolutely great. Two two-pound lobsters for $37.
Wow. And did it come with, like, the fixins?
Yeah, corn on the cob, fries. Yeah.
Sweet.
And peel your own shrimp. I think I'm not supposed to mention money, but anyway.
It was affordable.
Yeah, it's quite affordable. And then walked back over, and I made the mistake of looking in the window at the Common Man, where I saw five people I knew, and they're all waving at me. I'm like, all right, let's go in here. And I had some chocolate cake, which was
perfect.
So good.
Perfect.
With a candle in it.
I've been eating, actually, this isn't Portsmouth, but those of you in Portsmouth can get there rather quickly, Annika Jan's.
I love Annika Jan's.
It's so close to my house, I can ride my bike.
Yeah.
You know, and I love every square inch of that place.
I've always had a good meal there, and I love sitting at the bar.
Yeah. I've only ever sat at the bar. It's really wonderful. The bartenders, they know their stuff.
Yeah,
and the food. And I've met some really, really interesting people just sitting there.
Now, what's it like to come here and not know anybody? I mean, I did that 8 years ago. I moved to Exeter and didn't know anybody except for my daughter's father and his wife. And you know, it's. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
It's been a little challenging, a little lonely. I actually, you know, speaking of Facebook, I think someone posted something on Facebook like, hey, are you single and where do you go and what do you do? And I responded like, I'm just here. I just would like some friends. And what an overwhelming response from people.
That's how we connected. That's right. Mm-hmm. Because I said where I go or something. Yeah.
Right. And Sebastian and Bonnie Cartwright, who's a waitress at the Common Man now. And I mean, just a bunch of really interesting people emailed me and kind of extended, you know, the offering to hang out. And so that's how I've met the circle that I'm sort of forming.
Yeah.
But in the first couple of weeks, when it was pouring rain,
nobody went out. Yeah,
I was in my house just alone in the rain on Facebook. You know, it was slightly depressing. But you know, the summer's here, and it's been really interesting being out. And I'm very fortunate that my family is here.
Oh,
so I do spend a good portion of my time. We have a farm over in Elliott where. We're growing a lot of really yummy vegetables, and I have fresh eggs and doing all kinds of cool stuff over there.
Oh, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So have you given thought to, you know, opening some other kind of food thing, or is the writing doing that?
You know, I get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
I have a friend who has some retail space that she really wants me to open a place in. And I'm just taking a break right now. This is the first time in a long, long time that I haven't been running three or four businesses at a time.
Right.
So I've pretty much taken the summer off, and I even stopped cooking for a couple of months and just didn't really do anything because I just needed a break. But you know, I think maybe my next thing will be a specialty food store on some level that maybe has some entrees to go, kind of, you know, homemade soups to take or whatever. But right now I'm enjoying being waited on.
Yeah. Isn't being waited on lovely?
It really is. And having someone else have to do the dishes and, you know, enjoying a couple glasses of wine and not being on the clock and, you know, worrying and
that kind of thing. Being able to walk everywhere.
Oh, that's best. If you know, I'll tell you what my favorite culinary experience in Portsmouth is and has been since I was probably 5 years old. A picnic in Prescott Park on Wednesday nights.
Oh, yeah.
Or going to see the, you know, the show.
The play.
Or whatever's going on. I love that. It's, and it's, you know, I usually pack up cold chicken and pasta salad and whatever, but, you know, nothing fancy, but yeah. It's just the whole idea of picnicking in the park, listening to great music with friends, and that's... That I've been doing that a lot this summer.
Yeah, what have you said? So you saw Grease?
Did I saw
you
see Grease. I've
seen a couple of those concerts.
Pretty much all the concerts except for one or two, and done some Saturday things. And yeah, it's been great.
Have you checked out the Fresh Local Truck?
Yes.
Yeah, I love those people.
Yeah, they're really nice people.
They were in GQ magazine.
That's so funny.
Yeah, August's issue of GQ magazine was all about food trucks.
Oh, cool.
And they were in it. It was so great.
That's great. Yeah, they're making a big splash here on the seacoast, too.
Yeah, their breakfast out in Newmarket, out by the water.
Out by the water.
Oh, mm-hmm. So good. Hollandaise sauce is so good.
Oh, see. you can win me over with good hollandaise
sauce. Butter and eggs.
Butter and eggs.
You're listening to Why Me Dine Me. I'm Rachel Forrest, and we're talking to Gal Foodie, www.galfoodie.com. Allie Goodwin.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is really cool.
Well, we still have like about 10 minutes, and we have a lot more to talk about. So what's the next project for you with the website?
Well, I have a lot of ideas. So kind of trying to decide where to go next. I'm still going to keep posting and still going to be coming up with, you know, great stories. The barbecue competition story has taken a little longer to post because there's so many facets of it that have to be touched on.
Yeah, it was freaky on so many levels.
It was a bit odd.
It was fun, but
a bit odd. And I'll just make a note that the observers were behind us.
Yeah, they were all sitting around behind us.
Behind us. I thought,
there were a couple people in front of us, and then this one woman kept saying to me,
turn around.
God, the look on your face when you ate that. I'm like, oh, I hope it wasn't horrible.
Yes. I mean, I have pictures. I had someone taking pictures. So, you know, I think reaching out to more of the people that I know that are either food lovers, chef-related, and having them contribute to the blog and do a special, you know, special contributors section of the blog. Because I think the blog for me really is about the experience of the food. And I share that experience every time I cook. I don't know how to do it just for me. I do it I cook to please others.
Right.
So I want to include others in my blog and try to make it a really rich experience for the people who are reading it.
You know, it's interesting because I've been thinking a lot about with the goal of a blog and, you know, having a certain angle and to get people to come back. And, you know, it brings to mind, Julie and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie yet?
We haven't seen it yet. Nope.
She had this idea, you know, she had this kind of life that was, you know, she didn't know what she was doing and had this idea to cook all of the recipes in Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child. And I thought that was a very clever idea because here's something, one idea that can have a narrative that's not just about, it is about the cooking and the challenges of cooking all these dishes, but also, I guess she mixes in her personal life and so there's a personal narrative there too that I think people really tap into, and not to mention that she turned it into a book, which is now a movie. I mean,
I know she's doing very well.
Yeah,
from probably a week where she was just bored and was like, "Hey,
yeah,
crack that open." And I'm a little bit jealous actually because I own every Julia Child cookbook, some of them first edition signed, and that's like my coveted collection that I didn't think of it first.
Yeah,
like duh.
But yeah, I mean, these ideas—it's just like you're sipping elderberry wine and you get an idea. You know,
yeah.
It's like it's a matter of like really, really thinking of having that aha moment.
Yeah,
and it's one thing I think about with blogs because you know obviously there are tons of them out there,
right? And there's a lot of them that are just, you know, people rambling on about their personal agenda, and then there are some. If you're on the web now and you want to look up Orangette, mm-hmm. that's one of my favorite blogs.
Orangette.com.
Yeah, my friend Molly writes that. She's from Seattle. She and her husband just opened a gourmet pizza place in Seattle called Delancey. I can't wait to try it. And I actually know her from her relatives who were my neighbors on the island. And she writes for Bon Appetit. She's got a whole article in there every month. But she also tells a story with her food, and that was born out of a personal life experience that she had,
mm-hmm.
Where she felt like she needed an outlet.
Right.
And it just, you know, became this mm-hmm. great thing. And she's been doing it for about 5 years now. And it's really interesting. And now she also has a book called The Homemade Life, which is really, really
great.
Beautiful and really well written. She's just a neat person.
Look that up, everybody. Orangette.com.
Yeah, Orangette.com. She's great.
Is there a link to it off of your site?
There is.
Yeah, of course there is.
Absolutely.
www.galfoodie.com. There are a couple of local blogs that I tap into all the time. One is the Beer Drinker Report.
Oh.
Yeah, have you seen that one?
I have not seen this one.
This is fun. The Beer Drinking Report and on Facebook, The Beer Drinker. And I just have to go there all the time. These guys are out all the time. They're anonymous. They use aliases, The Beer Drinker, Mr. X, couple others.
Nice.
They make up nicknames for people in town.
Oh,
some
wow.
of which are recognizable. if you hang out in town. But they're mostly doing rating bars and mm-hmm. bartenders. And right now they just came out with they rated every single bar in
wow,
Portsmouth.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
like,
cool.
That's a lot of drinking.
That's a lot of drinking. I am envious that you get to do, you know, the restaurant reviews. I actually started doing restaurant reviews on my own just for my own experience.
Yeah.
And you've probably had this experience way more than I have, but I'm at one of Emeril's signature restaurants out in Las Vegas, Table 10.
Uh-huh.
And I sought this one out specifically for the kind of food and the whole. It's a very special restaurant of his, and it's based on Table 10 in his restaurant, his first restaurant in New Orleans. It was like the special table.
Oh yes,
it's a really neat story behind how yeah. he came up with this restaurant. And you know, we went in, we ordered dinner. I started kind of jotting things down. I do it on the sly, you know, and snapping a few pictures of, you know, our plate.
Yeah.
And the maitre d' comes over and he says, can I help you? And my boyfriend says, she's a food writer.
Yeah,
and
nice one.
Oh, they scatter quick and did things start showing up better than they probably, you know, then I didn't really want to say anything because I wanted the real experience
yeah.
of being a diner.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually kind of glad that they did know because I got to eat some food that night that was not on the menu and just had a really incredible experience at one of could be one of my all-time favorite restaurants.
That is so interesting. So. Yeah, it's a really wacky thing to do. It's in terms of anonymity and all of that. I've been doing it for 8 years in Portsmouth. Pretty much I've done basically reviewed all the restaurants and pretty much everybody knows me, so that gets kind of tough in
yeah.
Portsmouth proper, but in the surrounding areas, yeah, they have no idea. And I don't take notes. You know, I go into the bathroom and write things down.
Yeah. See, that's what I should be.
Yeah.
I try to remember. Like sometimes I'll grab the iPhone and make a few quick notes about the kind of wine we're drinking mm-hmm. or whatever. But that particular night, you know, I was just starting to take a few snapshots. And they're like, "Is everything okay?"
I was
like,
"I'm the health inspector."
I'm the health inspector, and this you know looks way too good to eat. But kind of a wild.
But it's true. I mean, one of the benefits is that when I'm on my own time, and you know. I'm not allowed to take free food and all. There's all these ethical
sure.
things. But when I'm on my own time paying for my own dinner, you know, chefs will say, you know, I would like you to try this because I wanted to see what, you know, it's something new we're trying. And, you know, that's just a thrill.
That's great because that's, as a former restaurant owner, that's what makes your restaurant better.
Yeah.
If it's not working for the person who knows your food the best other than you... you know, then don't serve it. But it's also really fun because you're sharing the experience with the chef who's, I mean, I'm a chef, you're a chef.
Right.
Cooking for us is such a great experiment on its own. When something works
yeah.
and people like it, it's
yeah.
like, oh, yay.
Right.
I did it.
We have an understanding of ingredients that in preparations that some other people might not.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
I think they appreciate, you know, people who are very, well, you know, we're just the community is very food conscious. You know, we know a lot of.
It is. And in moving back to this area, you know, I was really pleasantly surprised how, you know, fresh local produce and flavors and meat and fish. You know, my very good friends opened the meat house and loving that they're
yeah.
just right there now, you know?
Yeah.
But all of those kinds of things are so great to have right close and, you know, what will grow as chefs, as more people and more farms and, you know, all these purveyors of fine foods.
Indeed. And you'll be blogging about it, www.galfoodie.com. And so we can't wait to see what comes up next. Go to the website, listeners, and check out this mozzarella experiment. It is really interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. There's some, and if you'd like more pictures than what's there, I have lots of the messy and the not so messy.
I didn't see any faces shown, though. Is that going to be a...
There was some anonymity requested. Both parties. I think the wine.
Things could get really weird with all the... I saw you had, you know, some beers, Corona Light or whatever.
Yeah, those were chasers.
Chasers.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great day. So the next post will be about the barbecue competition, and then we'll probably touch on making goat cheese. And if anybody has any recipes or stories about food that they want to share with me that might spark some interest, galfoodie@gmail.com.
Great.
And, you know, send me your ideas. Send me restaurants you want me to try. I love suggestions now that I'm here, and I thought I knew where everything was.
Oh, I'll tell you that.
Gilly's is the only place left that is where it should be.
Oh, everything's so much different.
Everything's different. Yeah, everything's different. So.
Oh, well, lots more to explore.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Allie Goodwin. Galfoodie.com.
Thanks,
and
Rachel.
And we'll be seeing more of you on your website and out in town. And 2 weeks from now, more Wine Me, Dine Me.
dearest jewel, your beauty has conquered me.
Bye. dozen. People come to see mine by the dozen. Dressed in style with the hog, wow, me, oh, my, yo. Son of a gun, we're gonna have a big fun on the bag.
us away. They're trying to wash us away.
Hi, this is Portsmouth Herald columnist Tammy Truax coming to you over the free airwaves of Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP-FM, the clear alternative to big commercial radio. Go local.